Hebrews chapter 3. If you would there, please, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. All right. Still need special music for Sunday morning. So if you want to do that Sunday morning and have not seen me already, which would be most of you who do special music, that would be, we're in Hebrews chapter 3. I won't get distracted from what's going on here. Hebrews chapter 3. What a powerful, isn't the Bible wonderful? The Bible is absolutely wonderful. It's amazing. We can have confidence in it that God has not only given it to us, He's, I think, divinely preserved His Word for us even today. I'm reading an unusually long passage, but it all really falls together. I like the title from Robert Sumner, who for many years did the Biblical Evangelist newspaper. He says, "Blighted by unbelief." Blighted by unbelief was his title for this passage. "Wherefore," I'm in Hebrews 3:7, "as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They shall not go into the promised land," for the most part. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke or rebel, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Unbelief. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word to our hearts. Thank you, Lord. It was for me. It was for me that you gave your... Why? Let Barabbas go free. And you to Calvary. Because you, from the foundation of the world, loved us with an everlasting love and determined you were willing to come to die. That makes everything possible. And then you gloriously arose. Lord, we stand in awe of our wonderful God. So, Lord, if we have even a tidbit looked at unbelief, may we reject that, confess that, and trust wholeheartedly, unreservedly in the wonderful Savior and your wonderful book. So be with me now. Forgive me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That thing I say every time about forgiving me of sin, empty me of self, comes from Kenny Baldwin. So if you hear him, it's where I got that from. And so I think it's a very important part in my thinking that I want to serve the Lord every time I speak, to forgive me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with His Spirit. That should be every pastor's prayer. There are warning signs. They bombard us in our society all the time, from the simple notification that your smartphone battery is under 20% and you have to punch it to even get it to do anything else. That is a warning, to falling rocks, to tornado watch, that loud sound comes over, that tornado coming or whatever. Road ends, slow children at play. Add to these the incessant beeps and buzzes and bells and blaring horns and chimes. You've got mail. All this warning signs that if something is going on, look up. Now, some are about impending doom, falling rocks. There are alarms in our lives as you find out your bones creak more than they used to. I need to wake up and I need to be sort of heading where I'm heading toward the home front there. And I have found that as I've turning 59 in a couple months, that my bones and I just can't do what I used to do. My goodness gracious, can't do that. But we find out it's... But we sometimes become hardened. I remember my brother, when my mom was living with us, stayed one time with us, and he was on the other side of the house toward the train. And he got this morning and said, "Man, those train whistles are so loud." What train whistles? What train? I've gotten used to them. I think sometimes we get hardened to the Holy Spirit speaking on our hearts. This is my pet sin, Lord. You can touch other things. I'm not changing this. I like it too much. But be aware. Beware of the hardness of your heart. Two, Sumner identifies two applications here. First of all, is the Christian failing to enter the promised land of spiritual victory, falling short of the Spirit-filled life? I remember talking with Brother Fox one time. I said, have we ever really preached when we were absolutely full of the Spirit? I think about that. Are you filled with the Spirit right now? Is everything in your life confessed? Are you walking with God? Are there some known, if you've got known sins, you're not filled with the Spirit. Now, the Spirit indwells you, and you have all of the Spirit. But the Spirit, most of the time, I would say for most Christians, most of the time, the Spirit does not have all of us. We are too entwined with the world. I was just noticed yesterday, I've got this really tall holly tree. It's above the top of my second story. I've never seen a holly tree so big. And I just noticed that vine at the bottom is coming out the top now. And it's entrapping itself around that holly tree. And someday it may actually, I can't understand it may happen, it's about to really grow a lot, but choke the life out of the holly tree. There it is up there. Just noticed it yesterday for the first time. It's all the way out the top now. I think the world sometimes so chokes you and I with itself that we get hardened to the Word of God. We should be so, our ground should be fertile ground. Break up your fallow ground, as Dr. Tyrion said in his letter. Break that up. One of the clearest truths of God's Word is salvation is gained by grace alone, through faith alone. It is through believing. Conversely, it is missed through lack of believing. I was telling the class this morning, Sunday school class, that liberals, when they think of the Word of God, they only believe what the Bible says if there's external, extra-biblical facts, or not facts, but manuscripts to back up what the Bible says. They call themselves minimalists. We only believe what we barely have to believe about the Word of God. You might as well not believe anything, because it's either all or none. It is all or none. What part are you cutting out? Thomas Jefferson cut out the parts he didn't like. I think it was the supernatural parts in his Bible. I tell you, it's a supernatural book. You want to cut the supernatural out of this? Just take the whole thing. Because it's written by the supernaturally powerful God himself. There's no other book like it. Supernatural. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that what? Believeth on him is not condemned, but he that what? Believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Believeth. Have you believed? Number one, the example of the fathers. We find there back to our... We've never left the text yet. You don't have to go back there. I have to turn back a page to verse 7. 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. If you will hear his voice. It's a parenthetical portion, really, looking back to when they stood on going into the promised land and they sent out the 12 spies. Remember, the 12 spies were not to see if they could. God said, you can take it. 12 spies went out to see what's going to get what part of the land. And just to see what's over there. God said, it's yours. Go ahead and take it. That was not the question. What's it look like? Remember what they said? Numbers 13:31, the 10 said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Perhaps they were, but they're not mightier than God. They might have been stronger. I don't think the Israelite people necessarily were a warring nation. Now, they had some really good warriors. I mean, David had those guys that could knock off a tick off a dog from here off the road somewhere, probably. Honestly, they were really, really good at that, the slingshot things. Obviously, we're not like the ones like I had. They had some other kind of thing. They practiced. It makes a difference when you practice. But there is a time. We have some four T's here under the example of the Father's time. The fathers were called by the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. God speaks to his own. He encourages us through his Holy Spirit, exhorts us. I tell you, if you're listening, you can't listen to messages over and over and not get convicted. Say, Pastor Tim, I can listen. You never get anything out of them because you're not putting anything into them. If you let the Holy Spirit really work in your heart and life, you'll get convicted almost every single sermon I hear. It's like, whoa, I want to preach that one at our church. Oh, I want to preach that. Boy, I sure need it. I'm still thinking about the one I heard yesterday. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I now live. What life is that? That's to be a Christ-like life. So I'm still chewing on that. By the way, that was Kenny Baldwin preached that. So if you want a good starter sermon with him, get that one and listen to that. You'll get fired up. But we find that he's encouraging us to grow. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He was not satisfied with status quo. So whether you are an aging, advanced Christian who's reaching towards spiritual maturity, or you're just starting out, or maybe you lived a carnal, selfish Christian life, and some people say there aren't anything such thing as a carnal Christian, a backslidden Christian who's not walking with God, get busy. Get started. Get started. We're talking about, my son and I were talking about cellist. And he was talking about the piano guy, cellist, which is very good. Piano guy's cello is very good. And he said, "Then I listened to Yo-Yo Ma." Yo-Yo Ma is probably the best cellist in our era, I think. One of the top one or two celloists in the world. And you should listen to The Swan from Sing Song. Yo-Yo Ma is a fan. Like he's like, way up there. I'm not up there yet. I can't even play a cello. I can hardly even spell it. Cello. There, I can spell it. That's about it. And I know it has strings on it. And you have to hold it way down here. It's beautiful when played right, though, isn't it? So he doesn't have to practice all the things that other cellos have to have. We brought in a fantastic concert pianist and have him play. They don't have to do the things. I've got to... I have to work on data well beyond that. Whether you are a spiritual giant, if you're that in your own mind, you're not. If you're a spiritual giant, you're still, Paul said, have you surpassed Paul? I press toward the mark. I'm continuing on. I'm growing in my knowledge and service for the Lord. So we find here that the 10 said, we can't go. However, Caleb and Joshua brought back an encouraging news in number 13:30. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able, well able, to overcome it. That this passage in Hebrews is primarily addressed to believers is clear. If you want to look with me now, here is our text from the Old Testament. It is Psalm 95. So if you want to turn over for just a moment. Remember, the author to the Hebrews is writing and including already many, many Old Testament passages, so the Hebrew people, as they're reading it, would know and understand, and he would draw all together marvelously the way the Holy Spirit, through the human author, wrote this wonderful book to us. 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Just a moment. Who is he talking about? Unbelievers? No. Who is the sheep of his pasture? Who claims him as their God? It is believers. It is Christians. Harden not your heart, verse 8, as in a provocation, as of the day in temptation in the wilderness, when they are provoking him to anger. We will not go up. We won't go in. We're going to be disobedient. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. I was just here, one of the sermons yesterday about how a shepherd would whistle. I'll be out. I can't whistle for nothing. Can't whistle for nothing. So I couldn't be a shepherd. I can yell loud. You don't want to hear that. But I can yell loud. Especially if Ian Kendrick's name's with it. I can yell pretty loud. There we go. Or the cats. That is even louder. We're going to give the cats out of it tonight for a change. The language is unmistakable. We're his sheep. There was a couple, Howard and Margaret Brown, wrote these words. Jesus calls me, I must follow him today. When his tender voice is pleading, how can I delay? Jesus calls me, I must follow every hour. Know the blessing of his presence, fullness of his power. Jesus calls me, I must follow him always. When my Savior goes before me, I can never stray. Follow, I will follow thee, my Lord, follow every passing day. My tomorrows all are known to thee. Thou wilt lead me all the way. He's calling. We are to follow. We must follow. The secondary application here is teaching us lost sinners who are also called by the Holy Spirit to trust Christ without delay, claiming this is the day of salvation. Today! That's why we give an invitation. Today, if you've heard his voice and the Holy Spirit spoke, respond today. Respond today. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what chapter that comes out of? Revelation 22, last chapter, near the very end of the Bible. The hymn is a thirst. Come. That's why he came, to bring salvation. Three times, 7, 13, and 15 in our text in Hebrews. Today, today, today. From what I understand, often early in Moody's ministry, he would give a message. And he would say, now you think about this tonight and you come back tomorrow. We'll talk about some more about this. And so one night he was in Chicago and he said, I preached a message and he was tired every night. And I said, now you go home and think about this. Tomorrow I'll come back and we'll talk some more about it. Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over the fire that night. And some of the people who were in that service were actually in eternity before the next night. He said, I'll never do that again. That's why I say today, if the Lord's speaking to you now, come. So the example of the fathers at the time, there also was a tempting in verse 9, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Psalm 95, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. The whole wanderings was one case really after another of tempting God. One example is Rephidim, when the people chided with Moses about the water, Exodus 17, 1-7. It was solved by Moses smiting the rock at Horeb and the water comes out. The story is summed up in Exodus 17, 7. And he called the name of the place Massah, M-A-S-S-A-H. Meaning strife, and Meribah, meaning contention, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now, had I been God, and my own children, I'm like, ooh. Remember, he was going to do that, and only by the intervention of Moses, was it 32 of Exodus? They had raised up the calf. Can you imagine what a heinous slap in the face? It was Moses up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and Aaron, and they throw their golden Aaron. Out popped the wow, a beast, a calf, a golden calf. Just threw it in there. Here it comes, and these be thy gods. Can you imagine what God thought when they said that? He had brought them all the way out of Egypt. You should not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him at Massah. In Deuteronomy 6:16 it says, 4 decades later, Moses was giving them final instructions. Don't do it again. It's sort of like the little boy who was tempting his father. And the father said, now don't touch that, son. And he walked over like that. And just, I saw Audrey do the stare down today a little bit with her mama. Don't touch that. Don't touch that, Audrey. Or sorry. Don't touch that, son. And just that little... And dad's watching. And dad's like, and he touches it. I won't give you the gory details, but someone was not very happy after that happened. Because he was tempting the father. What's he going to do? He's going to wear his bottom out, most likely. At least 3 or 4, 5 swats. Because if you don't, the Bible says you hate your son. If you spare the rod, you hate your son. That doesn't mean you beat him half to death, but it does mean he knows he did wrong. They were tempting God. In the case of the Israelites, after leaving the bondage of Egypt, where God had delivered them with such a mighty arm of deliverance, they proceeded to take 40 years, what should have taken 11 days. If you go up by Mount Seir, the Promised Land, 11 days. All the way down there. 40 years later, to get back to where they could have been in 11 days, had they followed God's example. Let's go up and possess it. Oh, no. And you should read the rest of that story. I was just reading it fairly recently, and all 10 of those spies, you should read what happened to them. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. I'm going to be Paul Harvey. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. Okay, I will. They all died. All 10 specifically mentioned as dying. The 10 that were, oh, that we can't do it. So because of unbelief, have you been wandering in a wilderness because of unbelief that God doesn't see you, that God doesn't care about you, that this coronavirus is not taking him by surprise? This coronavirus has just so set back, and our lives have been so changed and upheaved, and there are pastors who yet, MacArthur was to say, a large, huge church in California still has not been able to start having churches yet. We're blessed here in Kentucky that we've been able, through the providence of people involved, to give us clearance to go ahead and start up again. Praise God for that. I trust you are enjoying meeting together again. 40 years. Have you wandered for years because you're out of fellowship with God? So that was the time, the tempting, the trial in verse 10 of our text in Hebrews 3:10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. Sin, doubt, skepticism, unbelief, they are grieving God's heart. Genesis 6. 5 and 6. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts in his heart were only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Psalm 78:40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Nothing has changed with the New Covenant, the New Testament, right in the middle of the horrible catalog of iniquities. Ephesians 4:20. But ye have not so learned Christ. 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The trial, the tempting, the time, and how about the telling? Hebrews 3:11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Psalm 95:11. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Just almost word for word, from the Old Testament to New Testament time, echoing what they had done to God. What does this tell us? Simply that sin does not pay. Sin finds a way to find out. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You say a lot of ungodly people who are very rich. Harvest time is not here yet. The day of reckoning has not come. There will come reckoning. Because of the failure and unbelief, God did not allow the fathers to enter Canaan, the promised land. Paul cited the examples in 1 Corinthians 10. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Nothing to do with their salvation. Remember, if you say, oh, well, only the ones that were saved that went into the promised land. Well, then you've got Moses, you've got Aaron, you've got Hur, you've got Eliezer, you've got Ithamar, other giants of the Christian faith who did not go into the promised land. So this is not talking about going into heaven. It's talking about the spiritual life, spiritual victory. Canaan land is not heaven. Now, there's a Canaan land is just inside. Canaan land is not heaven. Canaan land is spiritual victory. That's what it's about, victory. And so we cannot say, oh, well, that is an equivalent of salvation. No, Caleb and Joshua, yes, they went in the promised land, but I'm going to see, well, how do you know Moses in heaven? How about the transfiguration? Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the example of the fathers. Secondly, the second big number is explanation of failure. The first point was far larger than the others, so don't get worried. Sinfulness, first of all, the cause of failure. Verse 17, if you have your Bible still open and you've not tuned me out yet, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 16 says, for some, when they heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Those 20 years old and upward, their carcasses fell in the wilderness because they had sinned. God had redeemed them from Egypt, miracle after miracle. He had thrown open the door of the promised land. No, we're not going to believe. We don't believe you can help us here. We don't believe you can take us that far. The Bible says Canaan represents our spiritual inheritance in Christ. They were, to use the New Testament language, carnal Christians who refused to follow God's full instructions. Alas, though, how many of us are not following God's instructions and are floundering in our Christian life? I tell you, we cannot live for Christ, most of us, because we have not really realized we have died with Christ and died to self. See, that dying to self thing, we struggle with that. Because I want what I want. I want what I want, what I want. Pretty much, I want it pretty much right now. There's Oreo ice cream dessert back at home in the freezer. She made for the inn and the crew. So, Oreo ice cream dessert. I sure hope Jack hasn't eaten it all before I get back. There we go. We want what we want. We are crucified with Christ, and we are to die to self. If any man will take up his cross and follow me. But we don't want to do that. We want to be a Christian, but we don't really want all of that. But we have exceeding great promises. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit considers our bodies his temple. Yet, like the Israelites, we selfishly center our affections on earthly things and not on things above. What a pity for us. We're to be pitied. You think about all these people, probably going to hear a message about this, about identities. All these people who are changing their identities to be something else, and as they do, changing their identities to be some other kind of identity, they lose the relationship of the people who love them most. And at the very end, after I become this identity now, they still want to be affirmed by the same people they rejected. Not only do they want to have this identity, they want us to affirm them in that identity. The same thing, they just left out because they... And they have but one life. You have but one life, young people. One life to serve God. One life only. And if you spend half of it trying to figure out who you are, it's who we are in Christ that makes the difference. Yeah. It's not the traditional identity. It's not the me-centered identity of all the Disney lady-themed songs. It is what does Christ, my identity in Christ. Peter comes back on the 21st chapter of John. I better stop right there because that's going to say that's the message down the road. Sinfulness, stubbornness, the cause of the failure is called obstinacy. Verse 18. To whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believes not, not the usual word for failing to believe. This word here means, according to Kenneth Wiest, not to allow oneself to be persuaded, not to comply with, to refuse or withhold belief, to be disobedient. In other words, they were of that non-persuadable type who will not listen to reason. They're stiff-necked, they're obstinate. One renders it saved unto them who were obstinate or to them who were disobedient. It's those who, listen, they are in their place and they've gotten some kind of authority and someone who knows a whole lot more than they do, who are a whole lot older than them, saying, you might want to do it this way. No, I'm doing it this way because it's my idea. I'm doing it this way. Well, they're going to leave the job if you do. I don't care. I'm in charge. I'm the one who's going to do this. And so they're going to listen to me or they're out. Someone's worked at the company for 30 years. Successful. He knows how it does. I don't care. I'm put in charge of that person. I'm in charge, and they're going to have to know and walk the straight and narrow my way, or it's out. That's what this is. Unbelief. I don't care what you say, Lord. I'm not going to obey. And you and I, we face that. Does God know what's best for your life or not? Amen. He does. Sometimes I don't act like it. Now, I'm putting myself in these things. I'm admitting it. And if you you probably need to admit it too. Okay? It's not just a pastor that needs prayer. It might be you as well. Possibly selfish. There's sinfulness, there's stubbornness, there's selfishness. The cause of the Father's unbelief in verse 19, so that we that could not enter in because we see they could not enter in. Why? Unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. People do not reject the Word of God and the God of the Word today because they are so brilliant or so intellectual. No, it's because they have a wicked heart of what? Unbelief. The heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. Why do the liberals reject the Bible? Because they just aren't willing to believe. I tell you, we don't wait for archaeology to prove the Bible. We understand the Bible is true. If archaeology wants to catch up with it, fine and dandy. The Bible's true in science, geography, art, history, Bible, doctrine. Everything the Bible says is true on every single matter. We're not waiting for some extra biblical external source to agree. No. Now, we're delighted when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1947 through an accident, someone throwing a rock in there and found complete books of Isaiah a whole lot earlier than we ever had before. And they were an absolute, almost near like 95, 6, 7% agreement. And those were just like, periods and things, copious errors. That's delightful. Just saw an article yesterday on Apple News how that a person supposedly had found a fragment of a manuscript from the Gospel of Mark from the very first century, which would be absolutely priceless if it had been true. Because we're about 250 AD, or the oldest manuscripts that go back 250 AD. So have something in the first century would be absolutely priceless. We iterate again, their falling away in the wilderness had nothing to do with their salvation of their souls. Aaron and Moses both died in the wilderness. Aaron and Moses will be in heaven. They're saints of God. Moses, of course, appeared on Mount Transfiguration, but neither Moses nor Aaron entered into God's rest, the land of promise. They had the fruits of sin. That's what happened. Why did not Moses go in the promised land? S-I-N, sin. The contrast is with a lady who In 1912, she was going to go to America. Her name was Rose Finn Noni McQuarrie. She's immigrating to America from Ireland, and she had a ticket, she had a ticket for this new White Star Line, the world's largest steamship or transportation ship, whatever it was. It's called the Titanic. But she heard, one account was this, it had some really famous people on it, as you well know. And one of the comments was, he said, the father of this, Noni's father, said, not even God could sink this ship. And she heard another story about it. And so she and his father, I don't think you should do that, Noni. I think you're right. So she got out of it, sold her ticket to somebody else, hired on to another ship, a slower ship, a day later. Well, you know the story. On April 14th, 1912, went to the bottom of the sea. It was a Titanic. And Noni later arrived happily in New York. 1,500 people or more died that night. Noni also died, but 1989... Noni died at the ripe old age of 97. See, she had had faith in God, the reverence of the God of the universe. She said, I'm not going on that one because that just sounds too braggadocio for me. She lived an extra 77 years because she had faith, not unbelief. The example of the father is the explanation of the failure and exhortation of the faithful. I'm closing real briefly. And 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. It's the living God, by the way, we are serving, not the dead of God of idols of wood and stone, etc. It's the God of the Bible. How could you be converted and leave the gospel of Christ and go back to Judaism? Remember, that's the thing they're working on. Jews, if God saved you, stay with him. It's a better salvation. It's a better Savior. Don't go back to Judaism. The path of unbelief, by the way, for the unbeliever takes him to a Christless eternity. They came to the gates of Canaan, but they never entered in. They came to the land of promise, but they perished in their sin. And so we are ever coming to the place where two ways part. One leads to the land of promise, and one to a hardened heart. How's your heart today? The advice, the warning, how about the appeal, verse 13, but exhort one another daily. We're to be exhorting, not criticizing one another, not casting judgment upon one another. It says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. Strength under control. And I think there should be more tenderness than boldness. A tender boldness, again, more toward the tender. To exhort one another who's gone astray. Bobby Burns wrote to a friend, I don't know who he was, but that's his little poem is, I wave the quantum o the sin, the hazard o concealing, but oh, it hardens o within and petrifies the feeling. I think that some of our feelings have been petrified because we are not listening to the Holy Spirit. Our hearts are so hardened. Finally, there is the advice, the appeal, the assurance. 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. We are made partakers of Christ. We're companions with Christ, if you would. We're those who come alongside. No wonder the writer of Hebrews spoke of so great salvation. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, that you are trusting Christ in the end. It means it's not you're earning your salvation. It means what you've had is genuine. Trusting Christ. I believe him all the way to glory. Our faith was genuine. Is it not so much the test of salvation as the proof of eternal life has been received? The reality of our profession is seen in our holding steadfast unto the end. The proof in the pudding is in the eating of it, or in this case, the proof of salvation is the believer holding on to Christ until the end. God is faithful. Now the question is us. Are we faithful? Harden not your heart. Some years ago, a drugstore in Galveston, Texas said, after being open around the clock for 26 years, in the front window, put a list of the 1 million prescriptions, and it said, trusted 1 million times. Trusted billions of times. Billions of times. And that is our Savior. He is faithful. But have you hardened your heart? Are you like the ones who just kept complaining? I'll have to admit, I told myself yesterday, you just need to quit complaining about things and get on with your life. You ever find yourself like that? Okay, I'm the only one in this whole church that does that, and I'm the only one that at least will admit it. Okay, we do that. I do that. I'm just trying to be transparent. I struggle too at times. But I have found when I listen to gospel messages and get in God's word and think about, I'm crucified with Christ. And that means it should change our lives. And the life I now live should be a life of honor to him. So harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful tonight that you love us and care for us. Lord, we are to count our blessings, not our problems. Thank you so much for your word, how it convicts us so mightily if we are in tune with you. So Lord, help us to be that. Lord, as we think about this invitation time, if there's a need, if there's a response, as the text said three times, today, 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 may we respond today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you grab a hymn book, please, in closing? Catch a couple of verses. I know we got a meeting in a moment, but let's take a couple of verses of 504. 500.